This morning, we want to share with you just a few thoughts coming to you out of the book of Titus, Titus chapter number 3. And also let you know, I didn't mention that while ago in the announcement, we had our missions conference this week. Conclusion of the service today, we're going to pass out cards to our folks. Of course, we appreciate the visitors being here, and anybody is allowed to participate. But again, this is for our folks that we've had our missions conference. And if you'd like to, we'd love for you to take part in giving every week to missions above your tithes and offerings. That's the way we do it here. We're just a little shy this year of giving $66,000 to missions last year. I attribute any success or blessings of God upon this church is to our mission program. And if our mission program ceases to be, or gets to the point where we're no longer providing the support for missionaries, I believe we're going to see the church begin to dissipate, even as we've seen it grow. And I hope you'll be a part of that. This morning, I want to share with you the message of the gospel. You know, the most important thing we do around here is preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Understand today that everybody in this world has the or should have the opportunity to be saved by the grace of God. And whether you believe it or not, there are still people that have never heard about Jesus Christ. Sometimes you think they are, and especially in America. But I run into people quite often, and I begin to share the gospel or talk to them about the gospel, and you would be amazed how I don't want to use the word ignorant, because I'm not saying that they're dumb, but they're ignorant of the gospel. Nobody's ever shared it with them or ever told. You know, there's so many messages being sent out today, every day that we live. There's things about what we should drive and what we should eat and where we should live and what we should do. There's a lizard that sells insurance on the TV, and there's a chihuahua that sells tacos from Taco Bell, and there's all kind of messages going out. But there's no greater message than the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I would submit to you this morning that every one of us ought to be thankful for the grace of God that He saved us. At least I hope that He has. And if He hasn't, that you will be. I chose this text this morning, and I want you to listen as I begin reading in verse number 1. He said, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and to powers, to obey magistrates, and be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Our Father, Lord, we thank You today for the opportunity, the privilege we have to come together, Lord, to listen to the Word of God. But Lord, we thank You today that You've given us a commission and a commandment to go into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, today it would be impossible for every one of us to leave where we are and go around the world, but we can go around the world by being involved in giving to missions on a regular basis, by faith, trusting God to meet our need in order that others might be saved. Lord, I'm grateful today for the testimony of Brother Peter Thumai and what he's doing in the churches he started. And I can only imagine the souls that have been accounted for, and he'll be rewarded for that. But I believe you'll be rewarded if you've had a part. And Father, today I pray that You would guide and direct, give us wisdom. Lord, we realize with COVID, we know our attendance is down, and there may be folks listening at home, but I pray today that You would help us, that we might come to the point of receiving the offerings that we need to increase our giving and help those around the world to preach the gospel. And Father, we'll thank You for what You do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. When you get a message, the message can either be received or rejected. If a man receives or if a man rejects the gospel of Jesus Christ, whether we like to hear it or talk about it, he dies in his sin and goes to hell. Nobody likes to talk about hell. I hate to think of anybody going to hell. But I believe today that God has given His life and given us an opportunity to share the gospel with others. And believe me, I believe we will be held accountable for what we do in getting the gospel message out. We find the message of the gospel, if rejected, if they reject that, they'll spend eternity in heaven. But thank God for the second group of people. If the message of God is heard and it's received, they'll receive and have eternal life in heaven forever and forever. I'm glad to know that I've already staked my claim. Salvation has already been provided to me. You could say, I have my ticket, and I know when Jesus comes. That's why I like that song a while ago. Friend, if you know, you got to be ready when Jesus comes, no matter when He comes or whatever time. So this morning, I want to talk to you about the message of the gospel revealed to you and I. Now, I know we might think about it today and say, well, the message of the gospel, what's that got to do with missions? It's everything to do with missions. If we don't get the gospel out to people that are lost and dying, they're going to die in their sin. And friend, today, I tell you, it makes no difference who they are. Our hearts ought to love those who are without Christ and don't have the opportunity to hear the gospel as we do. The first thing I'm grateful about today is the gospel message is a message of love. I don't know about you, but I like to be happy. I like to be loved, and I like to love. And truly today, the message of the gospel is one of love. The Bible said in verse 3, for we ourselves were sometimes foolish and disobedient and deceived, serving divers lust and pleasure, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. Friend, before a person gets saved, that usually identifies or pictures who they are. Now, I realize some people that don't get saved are sometimes mild and kind and good, and they can be good as they want to be, but without Christ, they're going to die in their sin. But before we got saved, I would say all of us might understand that we were foolish, we were disobedient. We were deceived. In fact, today still a lot of people are deceived about this matter of serving Christ and what He can do. Serving divers lusts and pleasures. Boy, today we live in a happy society that wants to please themselves. It's not about the church, and it's not about faithfulness to the house of God and to the things of God and teaching and sharing the Word of God with those around about us. But sometimes we get caught up in our own pleasures and our own desires, and we desire to do things that would take us away from the thing that God has called us to do, and that's to get the message to a dying world that is lost without Christ. Friend, today my heart, I think, is broken as I think about our bus children, and I hope before long we're able to start picking up some of them and bringing them back. I tell you today, those kids needed somebody to love them, and they needed somebody to hear the message of love. They needed somebody to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yet he goes on to say that there were some living in malice and envy, desiring what others have. We're living in a society today where that is rampant and relevant all about, round about us. There's jealousy and spite. There's ill will toward one another. Friend, today, this ought to be a world that if you're saved, excuse me, but if you're saved, you ought to have the love like you've never had before for those around about you. When you see people, you ought to greet them with a smile, and you ought to greet them with the joy of the message that God has given to us. He goes on and said, before we got saved, we were hateful. I don't know about you, but I could raise my hand on that. I think of some things that I did back in the times, not before I was saved, but even after I was saved, when I got away from God. And friend, when you don't allow God to work in your life, it causes you to do crazy things and became hateful and hating one another. Friend, today, we don't need to hate one another. We need to understand this is what we were, but now this is what we are by the grace of God. In Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, and you hath He quickened who were dead in your trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. In 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, but neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now somebody may question that and say, wait a minute, I thought anybody could be saved. Friend, if you repent of your sin and ask God's forgiveness, He will save you, regardless of who you are. The key to it is, the Bible said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. In our natural condition, we're worthy of judgment. We're worthy of wrath. We're worthy of condemnation. But even in our fallen condition, the Bible said in Romans 5:8, but God, who commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, today we ought to love sinners. I tell you, we ought to love them to Jesus in any way we possibly can. And then we see the evidence of His love in verse number 4. We read verse 3, all the things that He described. But then He said, but after that. After that, thank God those things have been put away. Those things have been pushed away from us and no longer are they there. But after that, the kindness of the love of God of our Savior. My day, what a difference it made when Jesus came in to my heart. Today we find, and you know that we're loved by the Lord. He loves you. I tell you, in fact, we know He loves us because of the awful death that He died. And when Jesus was hung on that cross, when He was nailed there, you know what He was saying? I love you. And if you will, come to Me. And again, we thank the Lord for it. Listen to the message of the cross. In Isaiah 53, verse 4 through 6, surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. But the Bible said in Isaiah 53, verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. Oh, friend, today, please understand, the gift God gave us was not a purchased gift at a store and wrapped and presented to you at a happy time. The gift that Jesus gave to us was the gift of salvation when He was nailed to the cross. I don't have time this morning, but friend, I wish, I've said all along and I say it again, I wish there was some way to paint a picture to help us understand what Christ endured on the cross. And then we see the explanation of His love. He said in verse 5, and get this, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Friend, you better get this down, because we don't get to heaven based on what we've done. You can give and give and give and give, and you ought to give because God tells us to give. But the Bible says, really, giving is something we do. You can work. You can give yourself to work and do everything that you want to do and think you need to do. And that's all good. And by the way, God will reward you for those good things. God is pleased when you work. But He said, not of works of righteousness which we have done. I tell you today, you could go to church and not miss a single Sunday. Used to, people did that. That's a little hard to see happen anymore. But yet we have people that, I remember years ago, used to get a pen if you went every Sunday during the year to Sunday school. And boy, people would strive for that. They desired that. There was something important about being in church and being in the house of God and being where God could use you. Yet today we find that no matter, that's wonderful. And I knew a man one time, I guess he had them all over. I don't think he ever missed. Kind of like Brother Jones. He'd have had them weighted down if we'd have gave them to him. But I tell you what, all that is good. But it's not good enough to get you to heaven. The way to heaven is through the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, calling upon His name. Why does God love lost sinners like He does? Why does God put up with all the mess that we see around about, all the hatred and all the bitterness and the anger? Why does God want to save us from our sin? I think of that song, "Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Yet why would he save us? Why would he cleanse us? Why would he adopt us into his family? Why would he do something of this nature?" He does it not because we deserve it. He does it because he loves us. And friend, today, if there's one thing I can say, I'm grateful for my salvation. But I'm grateful that God enabled me and put me in a church situation to where I learned the truth about giving. And I learned the truth about giving even above my tithe and giving to the missionaries around the world where they might be saved. I told the story during the mission conference this week. Years ago, the missionaries came here. I believe it's the first time Help Ministries came here. And a young man from the Philippines was giving his testimony. And he was talking about how, he said, an American missionary came to our village years ago, and he preached the gospel. He started a church, and he went on and told about him, and he told everything. He didn't tell the name. And right at the end, he said his name was Brother Terry Spears. I wanted to jump up and shout, because years ago when I was in Monticello, Florida, we supported Brother Terry Spears in the Philippines. And now, all these years later, I see the fruit of his labor in the church that I'm pastoring. Friend, I'm telling you today, God blesses what we do in getting the message of the gospel out. It's a message of love, but quickly, it is a message of life. Life is only a part of the message of the gospel. It's a message of life. It's eternal life. He said, 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." When a lost sinner believes the gospel, the life of Christ is shared with them. I think about the song that Paul sang this morning and talk about Christ in our life and what we do. But the Bible says in John 10:10, "The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." In John 11:25-26, Jesus said unto her, "I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" Friend, the gospel is life. I told the other night, I believe it was on Wednesday night, and we need to pray for him. I should have mentioned that this morning. I hadn't heard anything, but our missionary, Jerry Alford, is stuck in Venezuela. He's been there for years. Started churches, souls have been saved, God's blessed his ministry, and in spite of the mess that was going on, he stayed there. Even people was fleeing the country. Some of his congregation was leaving and going to Colombia and other places, but he remained faithful. Now he's stuck there. He can't get out. He's out of money. He can't get any money wired in because the banks, everything just shut down. There were very little food and very little medicine. I don't know what he's going to do. But I know one thing, the God that sent him is the God that's going to take care of him, meet his need. You say, well, what if he dies? Well, if he does, he'll be in the heavens with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and forever. I think today of our missionaries and what they give and what they do. I can't imagine. I even thought about our directors that was here this week that shared with us. They leave their families. One of them left his wife, and not left his wife, but he left her at home, in order that he might travel all around. And when those missionaries come in, they take them all over the country to share the message of salvation. And the good news is, those missionaries, if several churches can give them $25 a month, about $100, $200, $300 a month is a lot of money for them. And they're full-time and at it, doing what God has called them to do. And I'm grateful we've had a part. But look here, how we are cleansed. Look at verse 5. "Not by works of righteousness, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost." Now, some people view the washing as referring to baptism. They think our sins are washed away when we're baptized. Let me clarify that. A friend, that is, we baptize, that's just water. And that water has no power to wash away your sins. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And friend, we need to get that in our head and understand today, a baptism is of great importance. And if we're obedient to Christ and we've really been saved, we'll want to be baptized. He said, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. Ultimately meaning, if you have too much pride that keeps you from being baptized, perhaps you've never accepted Him. We come to Christ, we get a spiritual bath, as somebody said, in the blood of Jesus Christ. Revelation 1:5 said, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sin in His own blood. What a glorious thought today. The word wash carries the idea of release. We're changed in verses 4 and 5. The Bible said, and a renewing of the Holy Ghost. When He comes in, He enters an old, dilapidated, ruined, decrepit old building. A filthy building, if you will, but he cleanses it before He comes in. He enters a building of life that had formerly been condemned for construction. He comes in and He remodels the place. He throws out the trash. He cleans the place out. He renovates our lives completely. Literally, He starts over with us inside out. He transforms us from the wretched creature we are into the redeemed saints of God. And the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things come new. How are we completed in this life we've given? We are completed. Our completion is revealed in two ways. First of all, we're complete because we've been justified by His grace. I hope most of our people have it by now, and I think you do. But understand what justified means. Justified means declared righteous. Not declared righteous by me, but declared righteous by God. In other words, today, it's nothing we've done. It's no works that we can do, but it's Him that declares us righteous in the sight of God. You may look at an individual and say, that's not a righteous person. That's not for you to decide. That's for God to decide because He knows. And then second of all, we're complete in Him because the Bible said we've been made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The word heirs means we're part of the family of God. Man, I tell you, more beautiful than the mind can conceive. I think about Revelation 21. Don't have time to turn there this morning. But I tell you, where we're going, we leave here, is so much greater than where we are now. We're going to a place to where there's not going to be any more weeping, and there's not going to be any more death, and there's not going to be any more sickness, and most of all, no more pain. The fulfillment of our Lord's precious promise to His people. The message of salvation everybody born in this world desires to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And friend, I don't know when the Lord's coming back. No man knows when the Lord's coming back. It could be today or it could be 10, 20 years. I don't know when He's coming back. I don't believe it's going to be that long, personally. But I wonder if the Lord is not waiting till everybody has heard. You know, somebody said, well, how can God send somebody in the jungles of Africa or in the desert? How can God send somebody to hell that's never heard the gospel? Friend, I believe the day and age which we're living in, God has given us opportunity to reach the entire world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I would not be surprised, I don't know, but I would not be surprised when the time comes for Him to come that the message has been made clear all around the world and people had to make the decision to receive or to reject. Thirdly, it's a message of love, a message of life, but it's a message of liberty. Thank God when we get saved, we've been rescued. I love hearing the testimony of these nationals when they go out and get saved. And by the way, Peter Thumai is building an enormous building over there to have a school. In fact, he's got a school there now. And the COVID thing's kind of knocked him out. I think there's only about 100 there now, but it's been up to 300-something. They're training young men in these countries to preach the gospel. And friend, I'm grateful today that we might have a little bit of a part of it. When the gospel came to the lost, they were headed for hell. It seemed as if no one cared. But Jesus cares. by His grace and His mercy. He rescued us from a life of sin. He rescued us from a light of sorrow. I think of my life. Oftentimes I sit in amazement. And I think, Lord, why? I remember, and I'm not bragging, and I don't even like talking about it, but I remember when I was wretched and I was doing things that I should not do. And yet today it amazes me that God has allowed me to even live this long. But He came to me and He changed me and He helped me. And today I've been privileged to be able now for over 43 years to preach the greatest message in the world, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've been resurrected. The Bible said we were dead in our trespasses and sin. He made us partakers of eternity. He delivered us from spiritual death, and He's given us a new life in Christ. Oh, today, what a blessing it is. We've been regenerated. When the gospel came to us, we were walking in sin and darkness. We were blind. We were deceived. In fact, there's a lot of people in this world today deceived. You know, thinking with all that's going on and the COVID and all the things, you would think people would be dying to hear the message of salvation, to get to the house of God, to worship God, and to serve God. But it seems as if it's worked in the opposite direction, taking us away rather than bringing us to. But thank God we got saved. We was regenerated. We became a new creature. The message of the gospel is a message of hope, peace, love, grace, mercy, and blessing. It's a message of new beginnings, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. It's a message of grace. It's a message of glory. Friend, today the gospel message is the message that everybody in the world needs an opportunity to hear. And the only way they're going to be able to do it is for Christians to realize the need to give so that they may go. Friend, today I want to see the missions. Our missions has always gone up. And again, I'm looking forward and praying today that when it's all said and done, maybe a few weeks, I know we got some people out that hopefully I believe will be participating. But I hope when it's all said and done that we can take on some more missionaries, send them around the world, because friend, the greatest message in the world needs to be heard, and the only way it'll be heard is for you and I to give. And could I just add this? I usually preach what the preacher preached Wednesday night, when I'm about to take the thing, but he preached it the other night and did such a wonderful job, I surely didn't want to try to follow that. But I'm going to tell you, it came out of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, where the people said they gave in their poverty. When they didn't have to give, they gave what they didn't have by faith, trusting God to meet their need. And as he explained, we're not asking people to do anything ridiculous or crazy, but just pray and ask God what you can trust Him for, that you can give to missions. And I tell you, it's a great feeling of knowing that when you give to missions, every dime, when you give here at Victory Baptist Church, every dime of that money goes straight to the missionary. We don't. The mission board that handles them, they're operated by faith and they're supported by churches just like us. And there's nothing wrong with supporting an agency and knowing where it's going. But friend, when we send that money, it goes straight to the agency. They put it in the account of the missionary, and he gets every single dime of it. And friend, today I'm glad to know that we can have a part in sending the gospel around the world. The greatest message ever given is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity, the privilege, and Lord, we thank you that we can give. Thank you, Lord, that I guess 43 years ago, I heard this message about faith promise. I've been giving ever since. And Lord, I'm grateful to see the work that has been done by those who have supported it. Father, we ask now that you'd guide and direct, have your will and way. I pray that you'd bless this invitation. And Lord, if there's any that need to come to the altar and pray before making deciding what you'd have them to give, Lord, I pray that you'd help them to do that. But Father, we ask your will be done. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen.